You're listening to the Salty Saints Podcast with Will and Angela Williams, a podcast meant to motivate you, encourage you, and sometimes convict you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, grow in your faith, and stand firm to the end. Here are the Salty Saints.
Hey guys, we are back today to talk about 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 25, the rest of chapter 1. So we will go ahead and pray, and then we'll just jump right into our conversation.
Okay guys, let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we come to you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you so much for this time that we have, Lord. We thank you for the technology that we have, that we can look at your word and read it and talk about it with so many different people, Lord, that hears this. And Lord, we just thank you for just giving your word to us, that we can have it at any time. We can open our Bible up and read it. And Lord, I just, this portion that we're reading right now, Lord, I pray that we can look at it and really examine ourselves, Lord, that it's going to be talking about a call to holy living. And Lord, this is so important to you. And Lord, I know that our natural selves, our nature, our sin nature wants to go against that grain. And Lord, we want to go with it. Lord, we want to go with what you tell us to do, Lord. We want to be who you want us to be. And Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that the words that we read today, Lord, in the holy word, that people will hear what you have to say about what this is, what Peter has to say about what this is. And Peter has so much to say about holy living. And Lord, we just thank you for this. And Lord, I just ask you to just guide our words and Lord, and our attitude, that we can humbly come to the word and teach it and talk about it. We love you, we praise you, and we give you all glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So verse 13 says, "So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, 'You must be holy because I'm holy.' And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began, but now in these last days he has been revealed for your sake. Through Christ you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth, so now you must show sincere love for each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart, for you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal, living Word of God. As the scriptures say, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. And that Word is the good news that was preached to you."
Amen. This is, I believe, a powerful portion of Peter when he talks on holy living, because when you get down to it, when you look at what God wants, we are, you know, I think we have said this before in previous podcasts, you know, what is God's love language and what's our love language toward God? God's love language is he desires obedience.
Yes.
And what is God, our love language toward God is grace. He shows us grace and mercy, mm-hmm. so that we are, you know, we receive that grace and mercy so that we can be obedient.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of people might not agree with that because they think that God's, you know, his love language is grace. But it's that's not what he desires. That's what he shows us.
Mm-hmm.
But his desire is for us to be obedient.
Yeah, he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. So the same God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. He wants his people to come out of their sinful lifestyle and come into a relationship with him that changes them, that makes them a new creation. You know, he gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can be like a caterpillar turned into a butterfly. Yes. We're a new creation. We are totally transformed. The Holy Spirit. I heard a quote, and I think I've even said it on here before too, that the Holy Spirit cannot come to live in a person and not change them. It's Amen. That's impossible.
And the Holy Spirit is not one. We're not perfect, but we don't identify. We should never identify as a not perfect person.
Right.
We should identify as the person that God, he is the one who's given us the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reason why he has given us the Holy Spirit is to change us.
Right.
So
he knows we're not perfect, but we have the perfect one living inside of us.
That's right.
That can't not change you.
And so when you see that, when you see how God loves us and you see what he has done for us, I tell people all the time, I don't believe in sinless perfectionism.
No.
But I do believe in that we can sin less.
Yeah.
And so that's a completely different understanding, because when we move forward in our faith, we're going to see how a call to holy living, we have to grasp that.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not just, because there's so many people that tell people lies when it comes to this topic.
Yeah.
And we're reading word for word of what the word says. And so to talk about this should be, to me, it's conviction for me every time I read this.
Yeah.
And so he says, so think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Key word is exercise self-control. Those are the key words.
And prepare your minds for action. And God isn't going to tell us something to do something if we can't do it.
That's right.
He doesn't hold us to a level. I mean, that's why he sent Jesus for us, right?
Right.
Because he doesn't hold us to something that we can't obtain, that we can't, you know, if he tells us, be holy as I'm holy, he's not telling us to do something that he hasn't enabled us to be able
right.
to do.
He modeled it for
That's
us
right.
so that we can
and
do
And he
it.
Gave us the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the advocate, the helper.
The same one spirit that rose Jesus from
yes.
the grave.
Amen.
Right?
Power.
So the power of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times when we are living in our flesh, and when we are living in the power of our flesh, the Holy Spirit looks lame. I mean, it looks like he can't do anything. He looks like he's hobbled because our flesh is overpowering that belief that the Holy Spirit can teach us, can mold us, and transform us into the likeness of Christ.
Well, it's because we are making a decision to live in the flesh rather than crucifying the flesh and living in the Spirit.
Yes. And because he says in 14, you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy.
So it's like a child that, you know, they don't, like maybe until they come to understand the rules. You know, like I was over at our daughter's today, and the grandbaby picked up a breakable little flower pot, and he was walking around with it, and he went to throw it down, and his mama said, no, go put that back. And before she could finish the words, he dropped it on the floor and it shattered.
Mm.
Well, okay, so before she told him, don't go pick that up, he didn't know any better. He just went and picked it up because he picks up, you know, toys and other things that are in that same area. But now he understands, and the next time that he picks up something like that, then, you know,
he knows better.
Right.
The consequence will be worse because now he knows better. And that's the same way with us. You know, everybody's journey is different, mm-hmm. but the common theme to everyone's journey is there should be growth.
Yes,
every growth level is different, mm-hmm. but there should be growth. If there's no growth, then there's something wrong.
Well, yeah, because that's even in the natural realm, you're not going to have a child that never grows, or something's wrong.
Yes.
You know,
that's a telltale.
If there's not developmental stages, milestones that are reached at each age level, you know, then the growth is stunted for a reason. Something's wrong. It needs, you know, you need to investigate. It's the same way your spiritual walk. Yeah,
you have to, you must evaluate. You must mm-hmm. examine yourself.
Exactly.
And so this portion of scripture is very powerful because it says God's obedient children. You must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways. That is, he's saying, you know better.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's saying, don't slip back. But what we're taught typically in present day church is that if you do slip back, oh well.
Yeah, once saved, always saved.
And it's oh well.
Grace covers you.
Know? You know, it's like you'll lose some rewards, but your fellowship is intact. And that's not what it's saying.
No.
It's saying.
It says you didn't know better then.
But you know
now
better.
Now you do. There's no excuse.
There's no excuse. And so there should be a repentant lifestyle. Not a repentance where you do a sin willfully and then you repent.
And then you continue on.
That's like if two friends, one friend punches the other friend in the nose and says he's sorry. Well, that friend might forgive him, you know, after he's, you know, his eyes watering, his nose bleeding. He will forgive him. The next day, the friend walks up and re-punches him in the nose and says, "I'm sorry." He's not going to take that "I'm sorry" to heart. He's gonna know that you're not sorry.
Exactly. You didn't really mean it. You had a worldly sorrow, not a godly sorrow.
So it says. And then when it gets down to, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. And the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. That, how do we become holy? We honor God in our life.
Mm-hmm.
That is the holiness that God looks for us. We honor Him. Honoring Him is not willfully sinning against Him.
Right.
When we willfully sin, we are not honoring Him. We're honoring our sin nature.
Mm-hmm.
We are placing honor on something that is unholy.
Well, a few messages back, we talked about the parable of the soils.
Yes.
So, you know, it's the good soil is going to produce good fruit. A good tree produces good fruit. Every believer is expected to produce fruit in their life. And what is the fruit? The fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Those are the things that should characterize the life of a believer. That is how you are going to look like Christ. And that is how you are going to live a holy or a righteous lifestyle. You're staying in step with the Spirit, abiding in Christ. I know a lot of these messages, they're not new, but the Word of God is constantly telling us these things over and over throughout the entire counsel of God. You know,
Jesus, when He repeats Himself, He means it. When He says, "Verily, verily," or when He says, you know, different things, when He doubles something up, He means it. And the Word of God doubles, triples, and quadruples things all the time.
Exactly.
And so,
the entire Bible from one end to the other is about God taking old things, making them new.
Yeah.
You know, Amen. There's always, everything is going to be made new. I mean, in the new heaven and the new earth, we're going to see everything be made new.
Yeah.
We must be made new.
And what's inside of you when you're shaken and what's inside of you comes out is what's really inside of you.
Yeah.
So if you are, you know, if you're going through the motions and you're having, you know, you're just in religion, and when you're in religion and you're shaken and stuff comes out that's not supposed to come out of someone that is honoring God in their life, that is what's really in them.
Yeah.
And that's
well,
the
those
sad
things
thing.
Have never been cut and off.
They've never been cut off. They've never been dealt with.
Yeah.
And so those are things that we must deal with.
Well, we have to understand religion, you know, just like Jesus told the Pharisees, religion only cleans the outside of the cup.
You can, yeah, the outside, it's hypocrisy. You know, what is the most important is the inside.
That's right.
It's just like when he calls the Pharisees whitewashed tombs. Mm-hmm. They're, it's beautiful on the outside, but it's full of dead men's bones. Yeah. And we can pretend all day long when it comes to religion, but when who you are behind the closed doors is who you really are.
That's right.
So your go-to is sin behind closed doors, that is who you are. You have not cut off those sins yet.
Right. That's not having a relationship with Christ, with the living God, because a relationship is going to bring about a heart transplant.
Yes.
You are going to be a new person with a new heart, new desires. You're going to see things differently, hear things differently, respond to things differently. You know, it's all a part of that sanctification process. And someone who's truly been born again is going to be a new creation, period. The Word tells us that, you know,
and
I mean, that's what God expects.
So most people will say, well, I'm not perfect, or, you know,
We've covered that on many messages.
Like, those are things that we should never say. We should always go back that we need to repent and go back to what God has planned for us, because we will stay in the muck and mire.
Well, and continuing on in verse 17, I mean, just imagine what we just said. Well, I'm not perfect, okay? Look at this verse. It says, and remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of Him during your time here as temporary residents. And it goes on to say, to tell us why. Because this is the sacrifice that God made for you through Christ. And the reason why He did those things for us. So are we going to stand before God at the end of our life and tell Him that, well, I wasn't perfect, God? Or are we going to live our life in a reverential fear of Him that says, God, you told me that I am called to cut these things off and out of my life so that I can live a life that honors and glorifies you, not just with the words that I say, but with the actions, with the heart that I bring to the table and come, you know, the way I treat people, the way that I live my life.
So you're saying it's a 24/7, 365.
It's a 24/7.
Yeah.
It's not a 1 day a week, 2 day a week, 1 hour, 2 hours. It's a daily,
It's abiding. And so what happens behind closed doors with your prayer life, with your reading, with your worship, it overflows.
That's
into
right.
your daily life.
Yes.
And people see it. And people respond to it.
Yes.
And so
people don't respond to hypocrisy. They have seen enough of that throughout these, you know, this last generation for sure of, I mean, people that play church. It's not enough. It's not, that's not a sustaining lifestyle that truly brings about change in the body of Christ and out in the world.
And so these last days, the last thing we want to be is hypocrites. The
Amen.
Last thing we want to do is to play the part. That's a hypocrite. That's an actor.
Yeah.
We cannot be an actor. We must be the real thing, because that is the only way people are going to come to Christ when they meet you, that you're the real thing.
That's right.
And so, and what does that mean? Going back to the not perfect thing, no one is perfect.
Right.
But the idea of it is that we are living a transparent life.
And a
transformed life. So it shows what's beautiful is verse 19. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. The sinless, spotless. He is the perfect one.
Yes. Amen.
Lamb of God. God chose Him as the ransom long before the world began, but He has now revealed Him to you in these last days. Jesus is the elect man. I've said that before.
Mm-hmm.
For us to be the elect, the chosen one, He was the chosen one. We are chosen in Him. So it shows that in 21, that through Christ, you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God because He raised Christ from the dead and gave Him great glory. Amen. We raised with Him in the promised resurrection is also to us when we are in Christ. And that's important. We won't have that if we're not in Christ. And so In 22, it says you were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. And the we were cleansed from our sins when what? When we obeyed the truth. What is the truth? That's the gospel.
Yeah.
And what does the gospel ask of us?
To repent.
To repent.
Trust
and
in Christ.
And to take up our cross daily. And there's a cost to that.
Yeah.
So we must have obedience in that. Mm-hmm. I always say it. This is the thing I've written in my Bible. To believe is to trust. To trust is to follow. To follow is to obey. To obey is to believe. This is true faith.
That's right. Amen. And that, you know, we've talked also about how that God has always been preparing a family, not yes. not an organization, not a business, not a model, but a family, a living, breathing family of God, brothers and sisters. He is our Father.
Yes,
we love one another.
And we're going to talk about that in chapter 2 at some point when we talk about living stones.
Yep. So we are called to, you know, it says that that true love is to lay down your life for your friends, you know, your brothers and sisters. And I mean, it's very important that we have people in our life that we can walk this walk with, you know, that we can pray for one another and go to battle for and with, that we can lift up each other's burdens, that we can encourage and edify one another. It's just so important. And that is what God really wants is, I mean, how many times in, especially in the New Testament, are we told to love our brothers and sisters mm-hmm. in Christ?
You know, and if you don't love them, that you're not in the faith.
That's right. You're not even truly, you don't have true faith.
So that means to love someone is also to forgive others.
Yes.
And to also receive forgiveness.
Yes.
So that is the most, because because
relationships are not perfect. No relationship.
No family's perfect.
In our marriage, I mean, we have issues that we have to work through. That's a normal, any kind of relationship, you know, with our kids, with
family, just family in general. Yeah. There's no family is perfect.
Exactly.
Nowhere. Nowhere on the face of the planet there's a perfect family. There might be families that look perfect, but when you get behind the scenes, you'll see there's flaws.
Yeah.
And because you're dealing with sinful people.
Right.
And so, but when you have a Christ-centered focus with family, you're going to always find good forgivers.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
who has been forgiven much will forgive much.
Yes,
so
amen.
We have to remember that, you know, we may hurt one another as brothers and sisters, and it's never intentional. You know, we have a really good marriage counseling book and program that we've gone through and we've taken couples through and whatnot. And it talks about how every marriage has to consist of two good forgivers.
Mm-hmm.
And that is true for any relationship. We have to understand that we have a fallen, sinful nature, all of us do, that we have to deal with at times when things, you know, rear their ugly head. And we can always repent of those things and ask for forgiveness and, you know, not act that way again. I mean, that's what our entire walk consists of, is us learning and growing and maturing and not falling back into those ways. And always understanding that we have one another's best interest at heart, that we're not out to just maliciously hurt one another. You know, if you truly love people, your intent is always going to be pure. Your motives and the heart behind the things that you do is for good. It's yeah. not for bad. It's, you don't mean things for evil. You know, I don't do things just to spite you or to hurt you. I love you, and you know, sometimes
well, I love you.
Sometimes, you know, our flesh may get in the way and we may act in ways that aren't becoming of a Christ follower. So, you know, we take those things captive to the obedience of Christ. We repent of them and leave them at the foot of the cross, and we ask for forgiveness and we move forward, and prayerfully we don't go back into those ways. But
and you know, having bitterness and you know dwelling on things is one of the worst things you can have, and Jesus didn't have that.
That's
right. I mean, whenever we look like Jesus, Jesus could have if anybody could have had any bitterness or could have had any held any grudges, it would have been Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause look at what he went through. But he asked the Father to forgive him on the cross,
yeah,
being crucified.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes me think about, you know, petty things, 'cause majority of fights in a marriage or, you know, in relationships are usually petty.
Oh yeah.
And most Absolutely. Of it's petty. It's not
it's
large
never worth,
things.
Yeah.
It's never worth the fight.
Mm-mm.
And so, I love the continuing on, it says, verse 23, for you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end.
Mm-hmm.
Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God. Mm-hmm. And so we need to realize that this life that you're living right now in the flesh, if you're a Christ follower, you got to realize it doesn't matter what you're going through or the things that are happening. This life is going to fade away.
That's right.
Because it says people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And that word is the good news that that was preached to you. So just real quick, if you got to realize that you will not, on this earth, you're going to die physically,
mm-hmm,
but you're going to spend somewhere eternally, somewhere. If you do not have a relationship with Jesus today, repent of your sins, turn to the living God, and trust Him. Trust Him with everything you have, and you will be adopted into the family of God. If you are a follower of Jesus and you are wayward in the way that you're thinking and actions, repent of your sins, see your need for Him, and turn to what He says is what's holy. That means honor Him in your life.
Amen. Amen. Well, that was a good way to close out, I think. You know, we have to remember that and have that at the forefront of our mind, that we are here today, gone tomorrow. Our life is but a vapor, and tomorrow is never guaranteed. So let's make today count.
Amen. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day that you obey the Lord. Today's the day that you trust. So let's do that.
Yes. Amen. Awesome.
So, yeah. So thank y'all. We love y'all. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. And I always say it, go share Jesus with someone.
Yep. Everyone have a happy holiday season. See y'all next time.
Thanks so much for listening in to the podcast. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and share. You can listen to our previous shows and read our blog post at www.saltysaints.blog.